Welcome to CLC Connects, the podcast that connects you with College of Lake County experts. I'm your host, Jessie Prue. I hear global music everywhere these days. I love to hear songs in languages other than English or hear traditional African beats and instruments show up in popular top 40 songs. Global music is entering the mainstream in a very big way, and I find it refreshing. My guest today is Alyssa Baum, the director of the James Lumber Center for Performing Arts at College of Lake County, and she's a longtime global music listener. Alyssa has traveled the world to catch her favorite acts, and now she's bringing them here to Lake County for us all to experience. We're going to chat about and listen to some global music together. Here's something you like today? You'll be able to catch all of these acts this spring at the JLC. Alyssa Baum, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jessie. Thanks for inviting me to be on the show.
I know from previous conversations with you that you've kind of have traveled all around the world just listening to world music. Can you tell us a little bit about how your journey with world music began?
Sure. I'll start with mentioning that I practiced West African dance for a very long time on and off, and I'm really into rhythms. So world or music from Africa really appeals to me. I used to produce a festival in Chicago called Folk and Roots, and in 2005, we presented a desert blues band, Tanariwen. I had listened to their albums, but when I heard them live, it just knocked me out, and I had a visceral reaction, and I knew I was going to go to the festival in the desert someday. I've never had a feeling like that before. It took me a while, but eventually I wrote a grant, and I went to the Festival of the Desert in 2012. It's in the Sahara Desert near Timbuktu in Mali, and it was amazing. And I'm really lucky I went when I did, because that's the last year they held the festival. Wow. Due to civil unrest, they haven't been able to hold it again. Bono from U2 was there when I was there as well. And it was just a really incredible experience. I'm still in touch with a lot of the musicians that I saw there. And so that's a significant event in my life. I'm also lucky I've been able to travel to see music a lot, and even when I do travel not for work, I'm always looking for music. And for instance, I was in Cuba last month, mm-hmm. and Cuba has an incredibly rich music scene. Many people are familiar with Gloria Estefan and Buena Vista Social Club, but there's all kinds of stuff. So everywhere you go, you'll see bands playing, and it's really amazing. We saw some great dancers too. So there's just a lot, that's just a part of my life and who I am. And I'm connected with other presenters across North America who mm-hmm. uplift artists, whether they're coming from other countries or they are US based and sharing their heritage through their art. So I look at it as exploring the world without leaving your home, and it makes the world a richer place.
So those new to world music might experience some different sounds and instruments that they've never heard before. I know when I was kind of making my notes for this, recording, you introduced me to the band that you just mentioned, Tanariwen, and I swear there were like sounds in there that I had never heard. Can you talk about some of your favorite world music instruments?
So I'm really excited that you listened to Tanariwen. They are fabulous, and everybody should go see them. I think what's interesting about them is that they're using a lot of instruments that we would see maybe in a rock band or a blues band. They have electric guitar. They have an electric bass. But one of the instruments that they have that we aren't used to seeing are hand drums. Mm-hmm. And most cultures have a form of hand drum. One of the things that you can find in almost any culture, and I love different kinds of drums. I'm really into rhythm, like I mentioned before. And so it's fun to hear different drums. It's fun to play them. In our culture, we talk about banging on drums as though it's a really aggressive thing you do, but there's a lot of nuance depending on the type of drum, from the Celtic boron to the talking drum of Africa. There is so much differentiation between it, even though it's the same percussive instrument. And we have coming up soon at the JLC, the legendary Zakir Hussain, who will be here on April 7th, and he is an absolute superstar. His instrument is the tabla, which is a hand drum from India. There's a lot of subtlety with the sounds that a master musician like Zakir Hussain can produce. And in his case, the performance is classical. It's classical Indian. And so in addition to the tabla, the show, which is called Tisra, meaning three, features two of India's finest young musicians, Debopriya Chatterjee and Sabir Khan. And the other instruments are a flute called a bansuri, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but it's a traditional flute, and then a string instrument called a sarangi, which is, again, like, we have stringed instruments that we're familiar with in the U.S., like the guitar, and then, you know, even to the more classical instruments that are also used in Americana or Celtic, like fiddle, but sarangi is very different. I am not an expert. I can't explain it, but it's. I actually did a house party once where I invited people to see a sarangi player in my house, or a house concert, and it's really cool. Yeah. I mean, they're such cool sounds. So I love just checking out the different instruments. Some of them are going to remind you of something that we might have or you might be more familiar with, but it's just fun to explore and hear different things. And I'm really looking forward to this concert because I think these three instruments together are going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Okay. We're going to listen to a little bit of Zakir Hussain with Tisra. How would you define world music to someone who's unfamiliar with the term?
So in the United States, it's commonly considered any music tradition from non-English speaking communities, but it can be controversial. There are debates about the label. Some people don't like the words world music. In the U.S., we like to put music into categories for marketing purposes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of clunky. It's not ideal for anybody. We call it genres, but even within the common genres that we talk about here, jazz, blues, rock, country, there's debate. Yeah. There are artists who say, oh, that's not real country, or, you know, whatever. So, and in addition, like artists, there are a lot of artists who are like, I don't quite fit in that genre. I'm not quite jazz, or I'm not quite, you know, whatever. They don't fit into one category, or they just don't want to be labeled. So there's no perfect term. And for lack of something better, we currently call it world music or global music, mm-hmm. but it's anything that comes from another country that's non-English speaking generally.
So it's a pretty broad category. Like, it goes kind of all over the place. I've noticed that even the Grammys are recognizing global music differently now. And so what kind of effect is that having on the genre?
So a couple years ago, the Grammy Awards changed from calling it world music to global music, which we just mentioned. And I will point out that typically what is in those categories is more traditional music using traditional instruments, but things are always changing. It's ever evolving. It's art, right? And mm-hmm. so it's a lot of people who are, you know, some people want to look back and recognize their heritage. Some people want to look forward and add new instruments and new things, like we mentioned with the adding of electric amplified instruments. So when you're trying to fit multiple types of music from multiple cultures into a few categories, it's going to be it's going to be imperfect. Mm-hmm. So how do you compare artists whose work is so different? But how much does it matter? As a music lover, I don't care what the category is. I just want to hear it mm-hmm. and be able to experience live. And the Grammys can be controversial anyway because they're so focused on the most commercial artists. However, I really appreciate the recognition of the artists in the non-pop categories. And I've worked with a lot of Grammy winners in my career, and they're all so extraordinarily hardworking, dedicated, and passionate no matter what they're doing. So I like that they get recognized. If for people who want to learn more American traditions and how they intersect, I highly recommend following the artist Rhiannon Giddens. Mm-hmm. She is an incredible artist. She has won a MacArthur Genius Grant. She has won multiple Grammys. She is terrific. And she does a tremendous amount of research. She uses her platform to educate people all the time. She got a lot of press recently for playing the banjo on Beyoncé's new album.
Cool.
So she, I mean, like this month or last month, she was in the news a lot for that. So I'm her star is rising, and I'm very excited for her because she is just living this. Yeah. And she's from North Carolina, so she grew up in the Southern Appalachian traditions and plays, Americana bluegrass music. And she would be the first person to tell you that where that comes from. So Americana or old-timey, it has a lot of close ties to Celtic music. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to talk about Celtic music a little bit because of Natalie McMaster and Danelle Leahy who are coming up. But it also really descends from African music.
Yeah.
So the banjo is a direct descendant of the African Ngoni. And it was created by enslaved people in the Caribbean in the 1600s, and it made its way over here. And then, like a lot of things in the U.S., our musical traditions are a result of people from multiple different cultures mixing it up, sharing things with each other, hearing what each other is doing, and that's how we got some of our very, very American music, like Americana and bluegrass. Mm-hmm. So Rhiannon, she guests on the latest album by Natalie McMaster, and the Celtic tradition is primarily from Ireland. There can be Ireland, Scotland. There's a big Celtic community in Canada, which is where Natalie and her husband Danelle are from, and their music really highlights the fiddle.
Okay.
So the fiddle, you think of it, the fiddle and the violin, exact same instrument, right? So you think of it as classical in the classical tradition. But, of course, people wanted to have fun. They took it to a different level. It's used for dance music. It was really, like, if you had a fiddle, then you could entertain the entire town, but, you know, back in the day. So it's a really fun thing. So I'm excited to have them. And, of course, it's right in time for St. Patrick's Day that we're having them here next weekend. So anyone who loves Americana, bluegrass, old-timey music, Celtic music, Irish music, they should come out to that show because these are some of the top, you know, these are world-class musicians who are coming here, top practitioners of that sort of music.
So that show is March 15th, and let's listen to a little bit of Natalie McMaster and Donna Leahy. From the two artists that we've listened to so far, they sound totally different from each other. So the world music, how would you say it acts as a bridge between diverse cultures?
Music goes beyond language. Regardless of what language you speak, musicians can sit down together, play, and create joy for themselves and for listeners. So, anybody can come in and they start to see the overlaps between the way they play things and the way that a different culture might play it. They find connections or they harmonize. They find ways to make it work together. It can be really exciting, even for people who don't normally play together or know each other. And for the audience, we can feel the emotion. We can understand what they're trying to say, even if we don't know what the words mean. Earlier you asked me about favorite instruments, and I talked mostly about drums, mm-hmm. but I should have also mentioned voice a little bit. Voice can be so profound, and we don't always think of it as an instrument, but of course it is. Mm-hmm. And we know, you know, here at CLC, we have tremendous choirs, and those students are using their voices for, I mean, just incredible songs. And so I do want to bring up really fast that if you haven't heard of tube and throat singing, I recommend you check it out. That is something that, like, most people can't do. There have been movies about it. It's really incredible what that practice of tube and throat singing, what they can do, because they can create two different notes mm-hmm. by circular breathing. It's wild. But the reason it came to my mind is because that's out of Mongolia, or, you know, near Mongolia. And they are talking about what it's like to live in this vast desert in the steppes where you can see forever, and there's a lot of horses. And when you see the tube and throat artists, and there are a few different groups, including one based in Chicago, you know they're talking about horses. You know they're talking about this high, lonesome plains, and you don't have to understand a word they say. So it's incredible how the artists can convey that without language. And music weaves a path through time and culture, and it lets us share traditions and learn about each other in a really beautiful way.
Yeah, awesome. I have to check out those throat singers. That sounds really cool.
I know, and I really want to bring some here. I'm trying to think of a way to do it. Like, I might just try to do something in Cafe Willow someday I think it's just so cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it. There are a lot of Western artists and musical groups that are working with world music artists. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So there are a lot, which is fantastic. I wanted to bring up, you know, you asked me about how my interest started, and I talked about it more from the career path. But as a young child, my favorite group was The Clash, and The Clash is well known as a punk rock band from England, but they incorporated a lot of world music influences into what they did, particularly reggae, which reflected the music scene in London at the time. And even before that, and these groups that I'm sure you and I, or people, no matter what age they are, have heard, there were a lot of groups that referenced international music in the 70s, mm-hmm. like Led Zeppelin, think about Kashmir, and of course the Beatles. The Beatles experimented a lot with Indian music. Mm-hmm. Zakir Hussain actually played with George Harrison. And the Beatles would incorporate sitar into their music. And back then, the artists didn't always credit the original musicians. There was a lot of cultural appropriation going on. Nowadays, we know better, and it's important to do better. And so more artists are trying to uplift the original artists. They're giving them proper credit. They're paying them for their work. And they're bringing them to the U.S. to perform. And that's been going on for a while, and it's super cool. If you remember in the 80s, Paul Simon's big album, Graceland, mm-hmm. it featured Ladysmith Black Mambazo. And that brought them to American audiences. They're still touring. They're fantastic. They produced a theater piece in Chicago with the Steppenwolf Theater. They were in a Michael Jackson video. Like, it's amazing to me how a lot of artists can use their platform to credit the artists that came before them, whether they're mm-hmm. international or just some of the old-timey artists that maybe people don't know about, and have, you know, bring them back, bring them to light, bring them to a new generation. It's really fun. And for the younger crowd, things are even more seamless with international artists. I mean, K-pop is one of the hugest musical genres out there mm-hmm. out of Korea. I mean, those bands are huge. Bad Bunny is an American. He's from Puerto Rico, but he's a huge mainstream artist, and he's really accomplished some things that no other artists who do albums that are all Spanish have mm-hmm. done before. So again, art transcends language. It's really exciting to see how this is working and how it's bringing people up that might otherwise go unnoticed.
Yeah, it is exciting. I remember, like, maybe early 2000s or so, we would we would get a lot of, or we can even go back before that and talk about like Gloria Estefan, but we would get these Latinx artists, but they were singing and performing in English, and that was like their crossover as they do their English album, and they'd be huge in the United States. But I've noticed more and more, it's like, it's not in English anymore, and it's so great. Like, I really love it, and it's a great way also for me, because I'm always trying to learn Spanish, and it's like music is an excellent way to learn a language. So that's one takeaway from that.
I know, and it's also nice when they can do some songs in English and some songs not, and people accept that now, and it's awesome.
Yeah. I also heard somebody, I can't remember where I heard it, but there was maybe a Grammys performance, and it was a K-pop artist and like a Spanish artist and like one other, I can't remember, it was English, but there were like three languages, like a trilingual performance on like one stage. And I was like, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to introduce our last bit that we're going to listen to. This is Malevo. And can you tell me a little bit about them? Because I think that they're not just music, they're dancing as well, right?
Yes, that is true. And I love the conversation we've been having, and we've talked about a few ways that people learn about international artists, but somehow it hasn't really come up. One of the most ubiquitous things in American households, which is the TV. They were introduced to the American audience through America's Got Talent.
Oh, cool.
And they have been on it, I think, twice. The judges love them. They do, they are dancers, but they also have live music. They have drums. They're calling it Argentina's answer to Stomp or River Dance, which River Dance is Celtic, of course, you know. So there's those through lines that everybody has percussion. Every culture has percussion. So it's super exciting. So they're an all-male group backed by a live band. They take a traditional Argentinian dance called Malambo, and they pair it with more urban percussion. And it just looks like it's going to be fire. I have not seen this group live before, but everything I've heard, everybody who's seen them says it's one of the best shows they have ever seen.
That's so cool. And they're coming to the JLC on March 24th.
Yes.
Okay, so let's listen to a little bit of Malevo. That was awesome. I can't wait to see that show. Can you tell us how to get tickets?
So the easiest way to get tickets is online. You can go to jlcenter.clcillinois.edu, and you can click through to the show and grab tickets that way. You can also call our box office at 847-543-2300. And we are happy to help you Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. And, of course, for most shows, you can usually come to the box office. And we're during those hours where our box office is open if you want to buy in person. So for those of you who are on campus or who are nearby, just stop in. We're here to help you. So it's very easy, and we hope to see you at the shows.
Yeah, if you have not been to the JLC or show at the JLC yet, it's really an incredible venue in Lake County that I think everybody should visit at least once or twice.
Yeah, and it is fantastic. Everybody says it's the hidden gem of Lake County. The sound is amazing. The views are amazing. There are no obstructed views. It feels small, and you can see really well. The artists love performing on our stage. Yeah. It's a great experience, and I'm really happy that we can share these artists with Lake County.
Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jesse.
I'll see you later. Did you hear something you like today? Catch them at the James Lumber Center at CLC this spring. Natalie McMaster and Donna Leahy on March 15th, Malevo on March 24th, and April 7th, you can catch Zakir Hussain. Thanks for listening to CLC Connects. Join me again in 2 weeks when we talk about dental hygiene and I let you in on one of Lake County's best kept secrets. CLC Connects is a production of the PR and marketing team with musical help by Dave Asma.